The news from Lake Wobegon is brought to you by Fiber One Honey Cluster Cereal. With a touch of sweet honey and brown sugar, each serving has more than half of the daily value of fiber. Fiber One. Cardboard no, delicious yes.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been cool here this last week, and actually cold, I think, would be a better term for it. And it snowed. But it's only the first week of May, and, you know, precipitation comes in many different forms, and, you know, we accept it. Into each life, a little snow must fall, not really a problem. And it did help with the ant infestation. That sort of put off some of these enormous insects that have started to invade our town. All of the lesser species of ants and mosquitoes and other bugs are killed off by winter. So the ones that we have are voracious. It's good to get a little break from them. It was cold and it was windy and rainy early in the week, and the wind blew all of the blossoms off the plum tree, which is in the Magendance's front yard, and blew them onto Carl Krebsbach, who was just walking by at the time. And he was wet from the rain, and so all of these petals stuck to him. And Darlene saw him from the Chatterbox Cafe, and she told him to stand there. And then she said, well, you've got to let Margie see this, so his wife, who teaches English up at the high school. So she led Carl up the hill to the high school, but Marjorie was not there. She had gone off to visit Senior, who was disconsolate because Athena College had turned down her college application. And so Darlene went to get her cell phone to take a picture of him because he really looked marvelous. He looked like an egret, actually, kind of a snowy plumed egret, and there were blossoms stuck to his feet cap, and all he was really quite amazing looking. He was a little bit embarrassed, but she went to get her cell phone to take a picture of him. But it turned out sort of dark, and then the interim pastor Barbara Hamm came by, and she was going to go back and get her camera from the church, so he followed her a little ways toward the Lutheran church. She was already thinking about how she could work this into a sermon, this flowering man, how each of us is the bearer of seed and a metaphor for redemption. She had this all kind of worked out, but then she had to take a call in the office from Ariel Peterson's mother, who wanted, please, Pastor Enquist, who's left Lake Wobegon, to be able to come back and do Ariel's wedding, which is supposed to come up in June. So she had to take that call. And Carl stood out on the street with Darlene as people walked past, and he felt this odd sensation in his right ear, and he heard a humming sound, and it was a hummingbird who was trying to poke his beak into Carl's ear, and he hit the deck. He just dove down, and he rolled around in the dirt, and he lost most of his blossoms right there, and he was slapping the side of his head. And suddenly, instead of a phenomenon, he sort of became just another, you know, aging white male. And and people suddenly lost interest in him, just as he was becoming more and more interested in being covered with blossoms and looking like a Mardi Gras king. He lost them all, and he was just a wet guy with sand on him. And he had this feeling of, it is not now as it hath been of yore, as Wordsworth wrote, nothing can bring back the hour of splendor in the grass, the loveliness of summer flower. Its glory soon is past. And meanwhile, Pastor Hamm, the interim pastor, was explaining to Ariel Peterson's mother that no, Pastor Enquist cannot come back and do the wedding, because when a pastor leaves, that's it. We're supposed to move on and get over it. The Christian faith is not about nostalgia. It is about today and and next week. So it was a lot going on in Lake Wobegon. Yeah, this last week, it seems like a quiet town, but then, you know, you look around you and there's a lot going on. The search committee at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, or the call committee, I believe it is called, is looking for a replacement for Pastor Barbara Hamm, and they are looking with some urgency, prompted by the fact that most of the people in the church cannot stand her. And and the thought of enduring her on into the fall through the summer is just unthinkable. She's a loud woman. She's a big, loud woman. Sometimes pastors, in trying to project joyfulness, just project loudness and a sort of bullying attitude. And they remind you of your third grade teacher on her worst days, back before you understood the idea of worst days, and she was yelling at you. Sometimes pastors try to project conviction, and it's just irritation is what comes out. She's kind of a screechy woman when she gives sermons, and she's an enormous eater, so that this has become a topic of conversation even among Catholics in town. Her appearance at buffets and so on, and what she does, she had 2/3 of a banana cream pie at the luncheon, the women's luncheon Wednesday at the Lake Wobegon Lutheran. She took 3-4 pieces of pie. Just those vestments hide a lot of sins. She goes around in this cassock, like a medieval monk, and when people see her coming, they take evasive maneuvers. She's a very intense person. So the search committee, chaired by Clint Bunsen, is looking hard at new candidates. They have 5 candidates right now who have sent in their resumes, and the committee is looking at them very, 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 very closely. And according to Clint, who's sort of a blabbermouth, they're not that happy about what they're seeing. You have to be careful when you're choosing a pastor. You're going to have to live with this person for a long time. And Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church is a low church. It's from the old Norwegian low church, the ALC. And they have to be watchful. There are a lot of Lutherans who are really Episcopalians in disguise. And they have learned how to talk Lutheran and to go around in Lutheran clothing, but they're Episcos down underneath. And so if you hire one of them as pastor, it's just only a matter of time before the coffee hour becomes a cocktail hour, and people are standing around and drinking mixed drinks, and now your sermons, instead of being about Galatians, they are about international relations, and the regalia just becomes more and more ornate, and your priest's vestments now, he's wearing an ermine robe, and he's carrying a scepter as he comes down the aisle, and there are footmen who are carrying a sort of a linen canopy over his head, and he's got rings on every finger and jewels hanging around his neck, and suddenly we're no longer Lutherans, we're somebody else, and then you've got a boy choir, you've got a choir of boy sopranos, and they're wearing purple robes with ruffled collars, and now you've taken a very sharp right turn away from Martin Luther. Boys singing in their high, beautiful soprano voices, some confection by Palestrina or Vivaldi. Bach did not write music for boy choir. Bach wrote music for altos and basses, the middle voices. That's where the meat and the potatoes are. And what the Italians wrote for boy sopranos is a kind of a spun sugar confection, which we as Lutherans don't go for. So you have to be careful who you hire among the pastors. You don't want to wind up with a boy choir. And people swinging censers, and then you've got bells, and you've got candles, and the next thing you've got is statuary, and then it's over. It's just, it's over. Then. So they're looking at these resumes from five candidates, and they don't like what they see. They're seeing young men and a young woman who are just trying way too hard to be hired and to say the right things and to talk about small town values and their love of rural America and farming and so on. Spare us. Spare us this talk about small town values. Honesty, that's the value that we value, and compassion and a sense of the ridiculous. Those go a long way, but to talk about small town values is to say how wonderful it is to be white people. We're all white people in Lake Wobegon, so we've got over it a long time ago. That's who we are. So spare us all of that. Mother's Day in Lake Wobegon, a big day, and the Tollerud family is going to surprise Marilyn Tollerud with a present on Mother's Day. Flowers just seem too predictable. So they're going to bring in a whole string of Appaloosa ponies and take Mom for a horseback ride. It's going to be a surprise. She never had expressed an interest in horseback riding. And they're a little bit nervous about it now. They're not sure how Mother feels about surprises. But Roy is going to come down from his horse ranch up in Millet, and he's going to bring this whole string of ponies, and his son is going to bring the saddles and the blankets in the panel truck, and it's a big day tomorrow. Mom up on a horse. I can see it. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.